Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wake up to Golic and Wingo in the morning and drive home with Danger and Battaglia in the Sports Bar. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Welcome back to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Father's Day this weekend, Gino, and I had a couple of moments over the weekend online as I was relaxing, enjoying social media. We talked to Toby Motika from 13 Wham last hour. Giving him a little hard time about getting his face painted like a tiger for his daughter's a party. And then I saw what Sal Capaccio put out there on Twitter, and I got to tell you, it moved me a little bit because it reminded me of a time when my kids were just getting started in youth athletics, and you know how I feel about youth athletics. It's not that
it's important.
It's so important, I think, to the development of our children, when you're raising that discipline and the structure that it gives them. It keeps them out of trouble. It teaches them great life lessons and unbelievable memories that last a lifetime. And Sal, there you were this weekend, your son's first T-ball game. Walk us through the emotions as a dad of being there for that.
Well, it was pretty moving. I didn't think it would be, but I always wondered what it would be like, and look forward to watching him actually play in a organized team sport. It's his first organized team sport playing a game, and he did soccer shots, but it was just kind of learning how to play and stuff like that. This is the first time with a uniform against another team, on some sort of field. But what happened was, the night before that was when the Capitals wrapped up the Stanley Cup. My son, he's 4, he loves hockey, though, so we watch a lot of hockey, and he was hoping that Vegas Knights would win because, he likes their colors and, how they sound, and they have a knight and all that kind of stuff. But the next morning, I said, hey, the Capitals won the Cup, and he was kind of sad, and I said, but watch, I want to show you something. So I showed him Alex Ovechkin skating around with the Cup and kissing it and putting it over his head. He was asking questions about it, and he thought that was cool. And then I showed him the handshake line and said, see, that's when you shake hands after your baseball game tomorrow. This is what you have to do, and you say good game. But we've always done that. Every time I play a game with him at home, we play a lot of stuff. He's competitive, and I always make him say good game to me afterwards, or his mom, shake hands. Well, we go to the baseball game. It was already emotional. I saw him in his uniform. He was super excited. That was really cool. And I said, I want to take a picture of you with your baseball bag. And he said, hold on. I have to hold it over my head like the Stanley Cup. And I said, okay, and that was really cool. And so he remembered that. So we get to the game. Everything's great. They play. It was emotional just kind of seeing him out there. It was really cool, obviously. It's T-ball. Nobody really wins. You tell them you win. But after the game, they get in their line to shake hands. They're going through the line, and my son was the only one on either team who actually gave everybody on their team a hug, not just a handshake. And I asked him why, and he said, that's what they did last night on the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, you don't have much to worry about, Sal. You're doing it right. Congratulations.
I mean, it was just amazing. I mean, I was speechless. I couldn't believe it. I was really proud of him, obviously. But, when we got there, actually, another really part of it, this is maybe even the most emotional part. We get there, we were one of the first people there, but up in front of us was a player on his team, and they were walking, and they were maybe about 20 yards ahead of us. And I said, hey, that boy's in your team. He goes, yeah, Daddy, can I run up there? Because he's my teammate. I have to walk to the field with him. I said, sure. So he runs up there, and they held hands and walked to the field together.
Perfect.
Sal, you're doing something right, bud.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because, you always worry. But, we'll see. He it's funny because, he hits the ball really well for 4.5 when I toss it to him and pitch it to him. But off a tee, it's not as easy, So I'd rather him go to the where they do the pitching and the machine and all that, but right now it's T-ball, so that's okay. He's still learning off that. He can hit the ball pretty well up there, but I think he's way better when I actually toss him the ball.
Sal, and I want to ask your questions about Buffalo Bills football, and we'll get to that, but if you can indulge me, my son is 12, and now we're at the point here, and this is a problem, I'm sure, not just in Rochester, where they can't find umpires because, well, for various reasons. Where I'm going with this is we all start off with our kids here at that age, and everything is great. But then at some point, things with parents and everything else, and it just – in other words, Sal, you have spent time as a coach in different sports. What are your thoughts on parents on a youth sports field today?
Well, look, I've coached Little League baseball, high school baseball, Pop Warner football, and high school football, as well as high school track and field. I've kind of done it all, as you've alluded to. And I will tell you, when I coached Little League baseball and Pop Warner football, and even in high school, I did not have a son. It was a long time ago. I was the only one without a kid. So I kind of saw it from the objective perspective and not just the parents. And yes, they're brutal. And here's the other thing, I'll tell you. When I was coaching high school baseball down in Florida, true story, I couldn't wait to get out of it because of the parents. And when the head girls track and field job opened, I took it so that I could go and coach track instead of coaching baseball because I didn't have to deal with parents. And that's the God's honest truth. And if a parent ever said anything in track, you just show them the stopwatch and say, that's why they're not sprinting, right? I mean, but in baseball, everybody played it. Everybody knows it. They're right there on top of the action. It's horrible. But look, I think there's a lot of great parents out there. My experience so far, my son's league has been great, but I hear things going on in other fields. We had an email from us from the Little League the other day saying how there was an incident and no parent can be on the field and won't be tolerated. It wasn't my team. I don't know what happened, but it just ruins it for everybody. And here's my message to everybody is this, because I will tell you from a coach's perspective, I have coached high school football and baseball and football in the most high school football rich state in the country, Florida. I will tell you this. All right. No one is coming to Little League games to scout your kid. Okay. So if you think that because something's going on or they're getting hosed on a call or the coach isn't doing things right, it's going to cost them a college scholarship, just stop it, be quiet, take a step back, take a breath, and let them play, because that's not the case, all right? And I have promised myself I'm not going to be one of those dads. I don't really even coach this team. I help out if the guy needs it and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just going to, you know what I do? I stand out there and I cheer for all of them. And the other day they played the A's and my son's on the Orioles. And whenever they came in, I'd go, way to go Orioles, and I'd clap. And then I'd say, way to go A's, and I would clap because I think that's what all the kids need.
Yeah. No, absolutely, Sal. And God, amen. I mean, you know, I spend enough time up and down the sideline of a soccer field to hear some pretty terrible stuff, and it drives me insane. And all I can try and do is remain positive and focus on every single lesson and make sure that, you know, as my daughters are playing, that they're experiencing the joy in whatever it is that they're playing and that they're learning lessons, life lessons, and gaining memories that they'll be able to carry with them through their entire life the way it worked for you, me, and Gene as we were growing up playing athletics.
It's hard at times. I know that. Believe me, I do. And even as a coach, like I've had moments as a coach that I look back at and go, boy, I was a jerk. Like, I can't believe I, you know, said something to an umpire or an official when I was coaching in high school or Little League back then. You know, just few and far between. But it did happen. And I understand now having a kid, I am emotional watching him and I want him to get the best instruction and all that kind of stuff. But I know it's hard. I do. But I think if we all just take a step back and realize it's little kid stuff, man, it's high school stuff or whatever it is, especially Little League. They're just out there having fun. You know what? As long as they're having fun, at the end of the day, they can go and say good game and hug the other team or whatever. That's all that matters. So, yeah, I don't think we're any groundbreaking news here for anyone. I just think that if we all just kind of remember that as much as we can, we'd all be better.
Coach Sal Capaccio. I'm calling you. If you've been a coach in the past, Sal, you always get that title.
That's my name for a lot of people. People call WGR and call me coach. And some people are like, what is that? Because it's been a long time. And I go, well, that's how people kind of refer to me as even a lot of high school coaches that I know, they call me coach. So that's okay.
Coach, Bills mandatory minicamps kicking off tomorrow. Let's get to some football. Biggest difference between the mandatory minicamp and the OTAs, aside from, I guess, well, you get to see all 3 days of practice, right?
Yeah. The only difference is that it's mandatory. I mean, everything else is the exact same. It's phase three. What phase three means is they have phase one where they're only allowed, there's no position coaches basically allowed in the field, just strength and conditioning and stuff like that. Then there's phase two where there are position coaches allowed on the field, but they can only do really a certain number of things with each guy. And then phase three, you're pretty much, it's a practice without pads. That's pretty much what it is. The practice without pads and contact. You're allowed seven on seven. You know, you're allowed 9-on-7, which is like inside running drill without hitting each other, and 11-on-11. You know, you can do anything pretty much. The only difference now is from we carry over to OTAs till tomorrow at minicamp, everybody has to be there. Now, the Bills haven't had any problem with attendance anyway, so it's fine. But now if the guy isn't there for some reason, he can be subjected to team discipline.
As far as the amount of the percentage of offense, the playbook that's been installed, Sal, I mean, are they close? How prepared will this team be when they get to Fisher coming up in July?
Well, you know, it's a good question because I don't know what their playbook is, so I can't tell you the percentage or anything like that. But my sense is, you know, they're still going to be adding on a lot of stuff once they get there. I still think they're, you know, they're kind of working through the progressions of it. You know, what they do is, you call that install. You know, their installation is kind of piece by piece. That's what most coaches do. They'll kind of run through their, you know, certain series, like a trap series or something. Maybe all of that is in. Maybe all of their 2-minute offense is in by then. Maybe all of a certain route tree and combination routes are in by then. But the other thing is you have to remember it's week to week in this league. So it's, you know, game plan stuff. So there will be a lot of their base stuff in. I'm sure they'll have most of everything they need as far as then they can just kind of pick and choose what are we working on this week to install to make sure we're ready once Baltimore comes around.
Sal Capaccio, WGR, joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Sal, I want to get your take on the Bills' plan at quarterback that Sean McDermott was referencing last week. But you wrote a piece on ESPNRochester.com as well on Brandon Riley and his emergence through OTAs. Talk a little bit about what you've seen out of Brandon Riley and the opportunity that might be ahead of him.
Well, look, if there is anyone that exemplifies and personifies what the process might be about with Sean McDermott, that word we always talk about, those two words, I think it might be Brandon Riley. I mean, he literally might be the poster child for it. And to the point where if this guy has the kind of year that, you know, he wants to have and he could maybe have, you could even put him in some sort of marketing campaign and say, look, that's the process. And what I mean by that is for Sean McDermott, the process is basically not cutting corners, staying true every single day to going to work and learning your craft and understanding that results aren't going to be immediate and we're building something for down the road where we can have sustained success. And that's Brandon Riley, because if you remember last year, he was the darling of camp. Everybody said, oh my God, this guy's got to make the team. How can he not? He led the team in catches in preseason. He led the team in yards in preseason. He made great catches every day. And then they wound up cutting him and fans said the Bills are idiots. It's ridiculous. Fans said, oh, he's going to get scooped up by New England, and he's going to be great for them. He never did. He was on the practice squad all year, and you know what he did? He learned how to go to work every day and learn his craft and how to go against professional defensive backs and what it took to be a wide receiver and learn the route tree precisely, different little nuances of his job. And now suddenly, guys, he's on the first team. Now, granted, Zay Jones isn't there, and he's taking his spot. So I think when Zay Jones comes back in training camp, which what we expect, that's where it's going to be interesting, because right now it's Kelvin Benjamin on the outside and it was Brandon Riley last week when I saw on the other outside with the first unit wide receivers. And this is a guy that says, you know, that year last year, he really learned a lot, but his goal is to play on Sundays and he has not achieved that yet.
Well, in part of this next question, Sal, I understand you were only seeing the team one day a week, and maybe this week seeing the whole picture might help out, but I'm always curious to know, who is Riley developing chemistry, or put it another way, does Josh Allen, do you detect that Josh Allen is developing chemistry with any of his offensive teammates in that regard?
Well, he's with the threes. So anybody who, runs with the threes a lot, you know, Austin Prohl, he's with the third team as far as wide receivers quite a bit. Jason Kroom, the tight end, guys like that, they're getting majority of plays with Josh Allen. But the question is, when is Josh going to get with the ones or the twos? And right now the plan has only been and strictly been Josh Allen with the third unit. So far, we've seen three practices. In those three practices, Nathan Peterman was with the first group, the starters, the first time we saw them. That was OTA number three. Then OTA number six, it was A.J. McCarron. And then OTA number nine was Nathan Peterman again. So it is a rotation from that regard. That would mean that every single day there was a different guy with the ones and a different guy with the twos, but the same guy, Josh Allen, with the threes. And we asked Sean McDermott, will he get a chance even through these next 3 days here to go with the starters or even the number twos? And he said, I don't want to say yes and I don't want to say no, basically. I'm not going to rule it out. He said it's a fluid situation. That tells me, guys, their plan is to pretty much keep him with the threes unless he forces their hand because of how good he looks.
Yeah, and I would imagine that when training camp comes and pads get into play and game action is under your belt, that's when you really start to see, all right, where does Josh Allen fit in this puzzle that is the quarterback situation for Buffalo?
Yeah, I mean, look, the three words that I get asked more than anything when I'm around town or whatever, how's Allen look? You know, everybody, how's Allen look? And I can't tell you the answer to that because they're all in shorts and T-shirts, where, you know, jerseys, but they're all in shorts and there's nobody hitting and he's not getting sacked. And, you know, he has a really, really great arm. That's what I'll tell you. His arm is as good as advertised. It's great. He has some throws, though, sometimes that, you know, he's going to want back. And you're going to say, he shouldn't have made that decision. He shouldn't have made that throw. Nothing that's, you know, nothing that's, oh, my God, I can't believe, you know, hospitality 10. He hit, like, you know, EJ Manuel make jokes about that at camp. But throws that he would want back. But he also makes throws that you're like, wow, that's incredible. The other day he made one where he was rolling left. And Jason Kroom, the tight end, was kind of in the middle of the field. And he just basically, as he's rolling left, just contorts his body and throws it across his body right on the money and drilled it. And that's really hard to do, but that's the kind of arm he has.
Sal, when, you know, we know Josh Allen is taking the threes, and we know that Sean McDermott's not going to tip his hand as far as when he's going to be getting practices with the ones. Do you think they're just taking this day by day, or do they have a plan in the back of their mind and, you know, we're on a need-to-know basis, and right now here in the month of June, we don't need to know?
Yeah, it's more day by day. They do have a plan, though. It's both. So they when he says the fluid situation, I think he's leaving the door open to say, look, I mean, you know, we plan on him being only with the threes, but the fact is we got to move him up to the ones because we just, or the twos even, because we need to put more on his plate. He's handled everything we've given him so far. He's kind of hit his ceiling with the third unit, maybe. Maybe that's when it happens. But they do have a plan, but at the same time, they're willing to adjust that plan depending how things go. Now, look, if he doesn't go with the threes this week, I want people to calm down and not say that's because he hasn't earned it or he looks bad. That's not the case. It's just the plan. I think that the next step for him would be in training camp. Then I think that they would have a plan for him to move up, and that's when he would earn it, and that's going to be a true competition.
Sal, it would sure seem that the plan for Tremaine Edmonds is to get him out there in the middle of the field and quarterback the defense. What have you seen out of the rookie out of Virginia Tech?
Yeah, well, they don't have anybody else, you know, that really can do that. So it's not like he's in a fight with two other veterans here like Josh Allen is. So, you know, this makes sense. This is going to be your starting middle linebacker. He needs the reps right now. Look, he's super athletic. He's very rangy and long. You notice him when he's out there. He just stands out amongst everybody. Like that big kid that everybody sees in Little League that just stands out and go, who's that guy, right? He can't be 12 years old. He's got a beard. Well, guess what? You know, that's Tremaine Edmonds. You know, he can't be 20. He's 6'5", 250. Guess what? He is. And when you watch him play, his instincts are very good. People I've talked to just rave about him. The one word that's used for both, him and Allen, all the time when I talk to people, smart. Josh Allen, too. Every time I talk to somebody about Josh Allen, yeah, his arm is great and everything, but the one thing people say is he's really smart. Same thing with Tremaine Edmonds. And look, Tremaine is going to be the guy calling the signals in the middle of that defense. So I think that's the number one thing, I think, aside from obviously his physical attributes, that he's going to have to show that he can do, because I think he'll have the physical stuff down, that he can get everybody lined up, get the play out, know what's happening, dissect everything in 25 seconds at the NFL level once the real bullets start flying. But that's when you rely on Lorenzo Alexander in front of you and Kyle Williams in front of you and Micah Hyde behind you and guys like that.
You were leading right to my next question. You answered part of it, but I guess our point of reference here, and I mean, I'm going back to the Rex Ryan years where you heard complaints that it was too complicated for this defense, Sean McDermott, Leslie Frazier. Is it, I would assume it's less complicated. In other words, would it be a fair expectation for Edmonds to get this down as soon as possible?
Yeah, I don't think it's this complicated. The other thing that helps him is the guys around him have been in the system already, right? So, I mean, it's not like they're all learning it for the first time. And for him to, if he even said this, he said, if I get confused at all, I rely on these other guys to help me out to communicate, because they know, they've been in the system. So I think that's a really nice advantage for him to have, that, you know, kind of unspoken, if something goes wrong and awry, there are guys that already know this defense and know what's coming based on the call and what they're looking at and the reads and things like that. So yeah, it's not as complicated. This is a pretty straightforward defense. We always knew that. When Sean McDermott got here, we knew that was the case. But he is only 20 years old, and he is, you know, in the NFL as a rookie for the first time. The other thing that helps this kid is his dad was an NFL player, and his two brothers are both NFL players. So, I mean, he has that lineage in his in the bloodlines and things like that. So he'll be fine, I think.
Sal Capaccio, our sister station WGR in Buffalo, joining us for a Buffalo Bills talk in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Sal, it's always great catching up with you. Great hearing about how great your weekend was and looking forward to your work this week during mandatory minicamp for the Buffalo Bills. Be well, all right?
All right, guys, looking forward to it. Should be fun this week. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Sal Capaccio. That was great. We'll get that on demand for you shortly at ESPNRochester.com.
Coach Sal. I think that was my favorite part of the conversation. It's a problem, you know? If you're a parent, you got to check yourself sometimes.
Oh, constantly. Yeah. Constantly. It takes a lot of patience and a lot of discipline. Because he's right. You see your kid out there and you get emotional. And you have to kind of divorce yourself from emotion and look at the bigger picture. It's a tough thing to do. But it's fun to see Sal just starting that journey with his son and youth athletics. And some of us have been doing it for years. Some of us are grizzled veterans. Some of us have had you know, seen our children grow to be great successes. And some of us have seen our children to grow extremely frustrated with the process of youth athletics. But everything leads to a lesson, and everything leads to unbelievable memories that will last you a lifetime. All right, let's get to NFL appetizers on the way next. We serve up today's top NFL stories in bite-sized form with the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia. A guard for the Dallas Cowboys got paid, and a pass rusher for the Oakland Raiders has not gotten paid. Get into that and more next in NFL appetizers, the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
You know, it's your Orange Update brought to you by Bentley Brothers. And for Syracuse basketball fans, how exciting is this? According to one power ranking, Danger.
Power rankings.
The Syracuse basketball team next year is ranked 8th, according to the Big Lead. And that were to be true for the AP poll, which, again, we're months away from the preseason AP poll, that would be their highest ranking since 2013. Orange fans, power rankings, something to get excited about. Orange Update brought to you by Bentley Brothers. If you're thinking of a new tractor, zero turn, or RTV, then get to Bentley Brothers in either Brockport or Albion. How about a new chainsaw, leaf blower, or string trimmer? Well, they've got them too. Bentley Brothers, for all your power equipment and service needs, save a horse, ride a Kubota. Online at BentleyBrosInc.com.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester. The all-new ESPNRochester.com is the online home of the sports leader. Listen live 24/7. Read up on the latest Bills and Sabres news. Hear the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on demand. Score stories, opinions, and contests. The all-new ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.